8 days until the NBA trade deadline, and two things are coming into focus for the Phoenix Suns: Jay Crowder and OG Anunoby. We'll talk about both on today's episode of Locked On Suns. Let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past 6 seasons, a writer at Suns.com, and the host of the Just Basketball Show. Thank you all for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Wednesday. Game day, another nationally televised game day. I will be at that game. It is a great day to be a Suns fan, a Suns follower, with basketball abound and health coming back, and trade negotiations, trade rumors everywhere. That's what we're here to talk about today. So hit follow, hit subscribe wherever you're finding the show on your favorite podcast platform and YouTube. If you are on YouTube, hit the bell down below and drop a comment with your thoughts on OG Anunoby, all right? Because that's where I want to start. That is the big news online among Suns fans. I can tell it is exciting people, and I have lots of thoughts on this player. I've talked and thought a lot about the Raptors lately on the Just Basketball Show, which you can find everywhere you listen to podcasts as well. I actually wrote about Pascal Siakam at Dime and did a show a couple weeks ago on this feed when the Raptors rumors, the Raptors-Suns connection rumors really started to come together. But I haven't talked in depth about Anunoby because I didn't really know what direction the Suns were going to go. There wasn't a firm, really concrete connection. And you're starting to hear Anunoby and Phoenix be connected by everybody from Matt Moore of the Action Network and the Locked On Podcast Network, Jake Fisher of Yahoo, Sham Sharania. It's everywhere. And so I want to dive into Anunoby, his fit here, his future, and all the rest. Today's show, guys, brought to you by FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make every moment more and visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. OG Anunoby is 25 years old, turning 26 this year, later next season. This is his sixth season in the NBA. He's averaging 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists per game, 2 steals as well, shooting 37% from deep, 51% on twos. His effective plus minus, which is the all-in-one stat that I like to pull from, is plus 2.9. The number doesn't mean anything to you, but that puts him in the range of very good players. Like, he is on dunksandthrees.com, where estimated plus minus EPM is listed. It has this scatter plot along the right side of the page, and I'm looking at it right now. It narrows up at the top, and then obviously it narrows down at the bottom for the bad players, and the higher up you are, the better you are. Anunoby's in a range on this stat with guys like Desmond Bane, Bradley Beal, Jaylen Brown, Trae Young, Chris Paul, Pascal Siakam, his teammate, DeMar DeRozan. Very good company. Basically in that tier of players that's probably not an all-star, but very close, and you're talking about the second and third best players on championship caliber teams when you look at Bane, Brown, Chris Paul, etc. That's what he is. Very good player. His contract is interesting because it's a big underpay, right? I mean, Suns fans will remember the comparisons made to his contract when we were all talking about Mikal Bridges once upon a time, right? I believe Anunoby's average annual value, I think it was 4 years, $72 million, $18 million a year. He's being paid $17.4 this season, $18.6 next season, and then he has a player option in 2024, 18 months from now, next offseason, for $19.9, at which point he will be firmly in his prime. I believe he'll be 27 years old at that point, or about to be. And I imagine he will turn down that player option. And so he reaches now this crossroads in his career at this year's trade deadline where he's a clutch client. We know that they're, whatever the best case scenario for the player is, clutch more than any other agency is probably going to be more aggressive pursuing that. than any other agency, right? More than any other outcome, it's going to be about what can the player, what's best for the player and how can they get it. And I'm not criticizing. In fact, I would prefer to handle business that way. I think if I ran an agency, the teams don't owe you anything, right? Or the teams don't give you anything, you don't owe them anything, is what I mean to say. And so if OG is in fact giving the Raptors early warning signs that, hey, I'm not coming back, I'm going to decline that player option, and I'm going to get paid for what I'm worth, then I don't think there's anything wrong with the Raptors exploring a trade, OG Anunoby maybe helping them pursue that trade, and other teams reaching out. There is also the other side of what he wants, okay? And so when you talk about a connection between a team and OG, you're talking about, one, the capacity and ability to pay him, and you're talking about, number two, a role that he'll be happy with. And so as we circle back to where the Suns fit into this, it's a few things. I don't think OG would get the expanded role here, at least this season, probably not next season, maybe never, that he wants. At least one that's bigger than what he has in Toronto, right? In Toronto, he's at the most the third option behind Van Vliet and behind Siakam. Now, lately, with Scotty Barnes in the mix, there's a lot of games where OG Anunoby is the fourth option. He's taking more twos and fewer threes this season, which tends to be a good indication that a player is a little more involved because they're not just spotting up, right? His usage rate is the same. His turnover rate is a little higher. His assist rate is a little lower. So maybe that's a little of where the usage is coming from. When you go back to effective plus minus and you look at what he would be like in purple and orange, right? All of the value, all of the positive value that he's providing that effective plus minus is showing us is on defense. He's actually grades out as a negative in that statistic offensively. And defensively, I mean, we're talking about one of the highest graded defensive players in the NBA. It's Jaren Jackson Jr., it's Alex Caruso, and then it's OG. I think from a Suns winning a championship standpoint, OG Anunoby is getting you a lot closer to that this season. If you're imagining a structure that's fairly similar to what the Suns have right now, right? You're talking about DeAndre Ayton at center, Mikal Bridges as a point of attack defender, Devin Booker and Chris Paul as the creators offensively, Mikal Bridges in that mix as well. And then what OG Anunoby does is effectively you're getting a super-powered, roided up, steroided up version of the Jay Crowder role. I mean, that's what it would be, right? Can you imagine? I mean, I know we've talked about the limitations offensively. You're talking about a guy in OG who is not the most consistent shooter, I wouldn't say. He's had some very good seasons from 2019 to 2021 when the Raptors were in a little bit of a rut. Anunoby made almost 40% of his threes. The past 2 years, he's been a little closer to league average, maybe even a touch under. But you're talking about a guy who's going to be a very eager and willing shooter who can make a lot of them and somebody who can defend his butt off way bigger, way stronger, way longer than Jay Crowder. Sign me up. On the negative side, there are a few things. Again, the role not being maybe exactly what he wants. Are you able to sell him on something that is still a role player type of situation, but maybe with the idea that you can pay him? He's not up for a free agent new contract until next summer if he declines that option, so you could move on from DeAndre Ayton between now and then. You could, more than likely will, be moving on from Chris Paul. There's other salaries, Shamit, Payne, Šarić, Crowder, that will be up between now and then. So you don't have to worry about paying him now, but you do have to make good with him between now and when his contract is up. You could talk about extending him next season, all these different things. So that's a little bit of a negative just in terms of, are you going to give him what he wants? You have to be sure of that if you're giving up a package that's probably, guys, the package is probably Cam Johnson and at least one first-round pick plus salary to get us to where we need to be on both sides. That's a lot. And so that's all a little bit of a negative. I think on the other end of it, in terms of negatives, the health is the other thing that you have to address, right? In college, he missed a lot of time. I believe it was Indiana where he went. I think he might have missed most, if not all, of one of his seasons in college. The past two seasons before this one, 43 games played in the 72-game season, and then last year in the 82-game season, 48 games played. So you're talking about barely more than half of the games the past two seasons. He was fairly healthy in the NBA prior to that, no big deal. And now you fast forward to this season, he is at he's at 45 games played, which is most of Toronto's games, but he's now going to miss the rest of this West Coast road trip that they're on with the wrist injury. I don't know how many more games that'll last, but he missed a couple leading into the Suns game, which he did not play, and he's due to miss a few more. He's missed two games back-to-back now, and there will be more coming. If you feel good that Anunoby can come in, commit to the role, a very similar role to the one he's playing for Toronto, in order to help you win a championship this season and then gradually expand his role from there. If you feel okay with the health questions, mind you, Cam Johnson has plenty of those as well. So if you're giving up Cam, it's not as if Anunoby is vastly more of a health risk than Cam Johnson. If all of those things feel right to James Jones, I think he would be a fantastic addition to this year's team and in the future as that role expands, to partner with Mikal Bridges as a defensive duo, give the Suns a 3-and-D-plus type of player for now and in the future as their title window remains open around Devin Booker. I would go for it. To repeat, I would go for this. More to come on that. On the Jay Crowder side of things, I want to talk about two rumors that are on very polar opposite sides of the equation when it comes to the Bucks and other teams pursuing Jay. Which one should we believe, and why? At a certain point, it is just a leap of faith which rumors you follow and which ones you don't. We'll talk about all that in just a second. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by FanDuel, the FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're thrilled about our new sports betting partner, FanDuel, for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, well, even better, join in on the action. They have so many great features to make sports betting fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can get Super Bowl 57 with, you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to same-game parlays. Basically, their specialty to even who will score a touchdown. We are quickly approaching the Super Bowl. The line for the game is Eagles by 1.5 here in the Valley of the Sun. You have the Chiefs money line is plus 100. If you're getting plus odds on a money line in the Super Bowl, which we know can go either way, you're talking about the more experienced team, the team that already has a ring, getting plus odds on the money line. That's pretty tasty. The over-under being 49.5. Super Bowls aren't usually very high scoring, so that feels right. They already have special same game parlays. We have anytime touchdown scorer, Travis Kelce minus 120, AJ Brown plus 125. That one seems pretty nice. Jalen Hurts plus 105. He's a runner. All of that and more at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Stuff being stocked all day, every day, up and through the Super Bowl. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and easy to use. Best of all, you get your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Late last week, we heard two rumors about Jay Crowder. I believe it was late last week. No, it was over the weekend. And then Monday morning. One was from Matt Moore, who I mentioned a while back. He's been pretty good on Sun stuff lately, dating back to last offseason. What he wrote at the Action Network in his little Intel notebook was the following. The Suns can try and include Crowder in a broader deal for a significant upgrade, which is what they've been chasing since last summer when they had hopes of seizing on the Nets' chaos to add Kevin Durant. The Suns are said to still be constantly looking for that kind of move. That's not to say they're the only team who would love to add a superstar. But here's the important part from Matt, that most conversations with the Suns veer toward grander ideas. That's the language he used. However, he said, Those grander ideas are always more difficult to make work, and so the likelihood of Crowder being moved for a singular role player, whether it's Eric Gordon, Josh Hart, or some other replacement wing, remains high. Okay, so that is in line with what you know I've been saying about this Suns situation with Jay Crowder. Ever since the beginning of the season, one of my bold predictions, although I also said DeAndre Ayton would be an all-star, so take those predictions or leave them. I said the Suns will be able to make a Jay Crowder trade, and it will be one that is focused and centered on improving the roster in a more meaningful way rather than a one-to-one trade. Okay? That lines up with my prediction. My prediction was not based on intel. I mean, you guys know I'm not any sort of insider. I don't pretend to be, I don't claim to be, but I read the tea leaves. I try to keep you guys up to date, and I read all the stuff that comes out about this team. I also have been covering the NBA, writing about the NBA for quite a long time, been covering the Suns for a long time, and I've seen what tends to happen, and I felt like the Suns would shoot high. All right, so that's from Matt. That lined up with what I already thought, and so yes, I'm more inclined to believe it, but we had something on the polar opposite side from Shams Charania first thing Monday morning in his Outlet Pass Intel notebook of his own. Here's what he said. Quote, both the Suns and Bucks have engaged in serious trade talks for months with current proposals surrounding Jordan Nwora, George Hill, Serge Ibaka, and second-round draft compensation to Phoenix for Crowder, according to sources. The Bucks and Suns have searched for a third team to provide Phoenix with a forward, so what outcome will emerge between now and next Thursday? That was piggybacking off of his reporting that the Suns have given permission to the Milwaukee Bucks to speak directly with Jay Crowder. Feels a little bit like we had transfer window deadline day here on January 31st on Tuesday as I'm recording this over on the European soccer side of things, and giving permission to an active player to go talk to another team is not common, but we know there's a holdout. We know Crowder's been in Atlanta at Georgia Tech working out, posting on social media, right? So it's not a surprise necessarily. What's a surprise to me and what feels just unbelievable, frankly, is the package that Shams put out there that I just read to you. Now, a few things about it first. Second round draft compensation is pretty vague, right? It could be what we saw happen with Rui Hachimura, right? With the Lakers, 3 second-round picks, a few of which are pretty decent. And the Bucks do have some other picks. I believe they have a Trailblazers pick and one other team. I believe it might be the Pacers. Not this year, but in the future, which could be some pretty decent seconds, right? Top half of the second round types of picks. And so you could be looking at a situation where what Shams is saying here, and this is where I tend to go, especially because he said third team in this paragraph, is that those second round picks would be more than one. They would include some of those better ones, not just their own, which are not going to be very valuable as long as Giannis is on the team and in his prime. And those picks would go to a third team that would then give the Suns a better player. And so you're talking about basically Ibaka and Hill and even Nwora, who I don't know how many chances he needs from the Bucks, and he hasn't been able to break through. I don't see him as a positive player at this point. Those are just filler. The big value in the trade for the Bucks would be Crowder, for the Suns would be whatever the third team would be sending them, and for that third team would be the second round picks. And so it's not that different of a construction as what we've been talking about all along, but the fact that it's even out there that the Suns are exploring something of a one-for-one deal like that, that that's even on the table, that it's even getting reported, is worrisome. At the end of the day, there is just a level you get to, especially around the trade deadline, where you just have to cross your fingers, close your eyes, and believe something. I'm going to continue to believe that the Suns are shooting high. Of course, doing that is the more risky route. Shooting high doesn't mean you get a deal done at the upper echelon, but the fact that we just talked about OG Anunoby, John Collins has been out there for a while, even dating back to when DeAndre Ayton was a free agent. Collins' name was on the Suns' radar, seemingly. We've heard reports from Shams and other people all the way through the season, that weirdness around the Suns are interested in Collins but don't want to pay his salary, whatever that meant. I'm going to choose to believe that they're shooting high, that they can still get a deal done that's a little bigger in scope than just Crowder for stuff, and that some of these weird Bucks rumors or some of these very small piecemeal types of trades are micro versions of what we're going to eventually see happen. Maybe that's blind faith. Maybe that's just silly. That's where my head is at, because it just makes the most sense. No matter what the Suns do, whether they go for something like Ananobi, whether they do a smaller trade for somebody like, let's say, Eric Gordon and KJ Martin over in Houston, you very quickly get to, okay, good players are going to be coming in the door. Some of those good players, like Ananobi, even like KJ Martin, see themselves having a bigger role. If you talk about John Collins, he's certainly a starting caliber player. The problem is the Suns have an elite starting lineup. So where does that leave us? We'll break it down next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you as well by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the planet, my favorite protein bar. And if you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want a ton of fat and calories, you've got to try one. Got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. A lot of our goals here in January, going forward into February, are to eat a little bit healthier. It might not be a resolution per se, but you just want to get things right. You want to recover from the holidays a little bit. Whatever the reason might be, Built Bar can help you get the job done. What makes Built Bar so good is, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Every single one, real chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, coconut almond, strawberry, cherry, your favorite taste. They've got a bar for you. I'm not sure how they do it. They maintain that candy bar-like taste while also keeping amazing macros in each bar. You're not really going to cross 150 calories with a Built Bar. You're rarely going to cross 5 grams of sugar. And in each and every one, you're getting between 15 and 20 grams of protein. That's the bottom line. That's what makes them delicious and healthy. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars through Built.com, where you can use the promo code LOCKED15. Now you can also get them a little bit more conveniently. Any local Walmart or Sam's Club now is stocked with Built Bars. A 4-box of cookies and cream, double chocolate puff or coconut puff at Walmart, or you can grab a little bit of a bigger pack, a 13-bar box of either brownie batter or churro over at Sam's Club. That's Built.com or your local Walmart or Sam's Club to try a Built Bar today. The Phoenix Suns have an elite starting lineup. Still, have they played a lot of minutes? Have they played a lot of possessions together? The answer is no. Chris Paul and Cameron Johnson both got major injuries before a month had even passed in the season. Right around when Chris Paul came back, Devin Booker went down. And here we are, January 31st, and that's been the story of the season. They've played 139 possessions. And by starting lineup, I mean the real one. Paul, Booker, Bridges, Johnson, Ayton. The one that we spent all offseason projecting was going to happen. The one that looked really good to start the season. And the one that we expect will be complete again in no time, the next week or so, when Booker comes back. 139 possessions. Now, for context, the starting lineup that played for most of Chris Paul's absence before Booker went down, of Payne, Booker, Bridges, Craig, Ayton, has played almost 500 possessions. So we're talking about, you know, roughly a third or even close to a quarter of that number of possessions that the real starting lineup has actually played. But let's get to the numbers. Let's get to how effective they've been. That real starting lineup is outscoring opponents by 30 points per 100 possessions. They are scoring 125 points per 100 possessions. They are allowing 95 points per 100 possessions. That point differential, that net rating for the lineup, would put them in the 97th percentile among all NBA lineups. That's not just compared to their own other lineups or other starting lineups. That is, according to cleaningtheglass.com, you put every lineup in the whole NBA that's played at all in a bucket. This Suns starting lineup is in the 97th percentile of all of them. Great on defense and great on offense. And 139 possessions isn't nothing, okay? It's not 491 like the other one, but it is a lot. So where does that leave us? We know they fit really well together. We know they have tons of chemistry. This is year three together for that starting lineup. It's year four together for everybody outside of Chris Paul. And it's year five together for Bridges, Ayton, and Booker. Crazy to say. That doesn't even feel possible, but it is. If you trade for OG Anunoby, if you trade for John Collins, if you trade for any of your favorite trade targets that you think are possible that I have not brought up today, even if you get somebody like KJ Martin or Malik Beasley, although he's more of a bench player, Jared Vanderbilt, who has started a lot of games for the Utah Jazz, these are all players who, because they are upgrades, you know, remember, this is why Jay Crowder is sitting at home in Atlanta. The Suns wanted to commit this season to what they believe their best starting lineup is, and that includes Cam Johnson at the four and the other four starters from last season. Anyone you're bringing in who feels like an upgrade over their current rotation inevitably creates questions around if the starting lineup can remain intact. Obviously, if you zoom out even bigger, if you think a lot bigger about either what's possible at this trade deadline or even more likely in the summer, DeAndre Ayton trades, Chris Paul trades, the starting lineup, maybe it just goes kaput anyway. But if I'm thinking about this deadline and what's realistic, I think a trade to bring in one of those players or someone similar to what I just mentioned is very likely. I don't think a DeAndre Ayton trade or Chris Paul trade is very likely. And so let's just use John Collins as the example because I think he illustrates the point the best. What do you do with him? What do you do with him? He is a very versatile player. I think he's underrated as a five, although yes, some of where I'm basing that off of was some very good moments in the playoffs 2 years ago. Although every time I watch them, I like what he can do in terms of his mobility and weak side rim protection as a center. I believe that that's an option. But of course, he's mostly a four. Okay, well, you're starting him next to DeAndre Ayton, right? Okay, well, where's Cam Johnson going? Is he going out in the trade? Is DeAndre Ayton going out in the trade? No. What happens? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I think I'm not hearing enough of that question happening. I hear a lot of like critical, let's trade DeAndre Ayton on like Twitter or Reddit after games when people are mad because he misses shots or whatever. Doesn't get a rebound against the Mavericks. I hear a lot of Chris Paul might be cooked, let's move on, et cetera, et cetera, on that side of things. Again, not super realistic in the next week for that to happen. Can you imagine? But I also hear a lot of, let's go get OG Anunoby. Let's go get John Collins. Let's go get whatever. Where are they going? Is it trading? I mean, you're not getting these players. Again, DeAndre Ayton's not going back in a John Collins trade. Too big of a thing. Doesn't really fit for either side. The Suns wouldn't have a starting center anymore. The Hawks would have two. Not going to happen. Chris Paul not really going to go out in a trade, especially if you're talking about the Hawks or the Raptors. I don't think either one of those teams, for different reasons, has any use for Chris Paul. Unless you're talking about like multiple huge trades in the next week for the Suns, what you're going to be looking at is a very good player coming back to this team who is coming here with the intention of helping a winning team, proving himself in a different situation, and potentially heading into free agency. Kyle Kuzma would have been another example. That player is going to disrupt, just like Jay Crowder was seemingly doing behind the scenes heading into all this mess. He's going to disrupt the chemistry, the good vibes, and the outrageous production and efficiency that this starting lineup has built up. I just told you I believe in an OG Anunoby trade. I will tell you, I'll put on the record that I think you would have to trade Cam Johnson in that deal, and I think you would. I think I would. But we need to be talking and thinking about it in that context. Maybe I'm just lashing out at what I see on Twitter of people throwing out nonsense trades. I don't think I'm doing that. I think people feel like there's a way to do both. And when I talk about thinking bigger than a Crowder trade, these are the types of things I'm talking about. Are you including Cam Johnson? Is there a separate trade where DeAndre Ayton could be involved? Is there a player I'm not thinking of? Fred VanVleet. Are you going to do that? Okay, well, then you're really right back to the same question, even, which is, okay, you're starting center. That clears a roster spot, clears a starting lineup spot. But Fred VanVleet's not a center. Is he going to be on the bench? No. Is Chris Paul going to be on the bench? Maybe. Where's campaign? He might not come back this season. I'm getting worried. I don't know. These are all craziness questions. It's nowhere near as simple as I think the conversation has been. And I just want to return to the fact that this starting lineup is worth seeing for longer. I don't know if the Suns will have that chance between now and the deadline. I think that could hold them back from making a move this big. That is the stakes. Yes, you want to make the move to get better this season, but there is a very good five-man unit sitting right in front of you that you've not been able to see for very long this year that you probably want to try to get. You probably want to try to see. We'll see if they do. That'll wrap us up for today. Recap of the Hawks game coming late on Wednesday night. And then Aaron Edwards to close out the week. We'll talk more trade stuff. We'll probably have some fun with the Steve Nash rumors that are out there. So hit subscribe, hit follow. Thank you for making Locked On Suns this Wednesday, your first listen on this Wednesday. Make it your first listen every day. Thursday, Friday, next week, trade deadline, playoffs beyond. By hitting follow, hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including YouTube. That'll do it. Go make Locked On NBA your second listen today. That show's available on all podcast platforms as well. Check it out, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.